Get your Bibles out. Go to the book of the Gospel of John, if you would. Glad y'all are here this morning. Come together to celebrate the resurrection. Go to John chapter 19, if you would. Okay, I want to start reading in John chapter 19, verse 38. It says, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and he took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then he took the body of Jesus. They bound it in strips of linen and spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. And in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb, in which no one had been laid yet. So they laid Jesus because of the Jews. So there they laid Jesus because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. Now I want to go to chapter 20, verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene went into the tomb early as it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. And she ran and she came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples whom Jesus loved and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb. We do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went with the other disciple and were going to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping down and looking in, he saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. So Simon Peter came and he followed him, and he went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes or cloths, but folded together in a place by itself. Now, you got to understand something, church. We're here today because of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. If Jesus would not have come out of the tomb, we've got no business being here today, because all of Christianity and all of what Jesus said is not true. But because Jesus was resurrected, not raised from the dead to die another day, but resurrected, and because he was seen, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians, the Apostle Paul says he was seen by over 500 people, and it's not a fiction story, it's not a fairy tale, it's not a bedtime story, it's the true story of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, who gave his life on a cross for each and every one of us, so that our sins could be forgiven, and then confirmed it and showed that he was the Son of God by the resurrection. If there's no resurrection, Jesus is not the Son of God. Amen? If you don't believe in the resurrection, you've got nothing to stand on. Otherwise, you have a book full of good teachings, a book full of just good sayings, a book full of a moral way to live. But you have no resurrection power. Hear me now. The difference between Christianity and all other religions is resurrection power. This is where all other religions stand lagging behind, because they don't offer resurrection power. They don't have a Savior who is resurrected. Without the resurrection power of God in our lives, folks, we're just living, are trying to, or attempting to, by our own ability, our own strength, good lives. But I'm here to tell you that y'all know me as well as I know you, and you ain't gonna make it. If I gotta live by my strength, heck, I can't even resist ice cream. How am I going to resist the temptations of the world? How am I going to do what's right when on the inside of me, my first thought is to know to do what's wrong? Hello. Don't look at me like you've never thought of the wrong thing. When somebody says something ugly to you, and the first thought that comes to your mind is, oh, I slap your teeth out. Oh, y'all have never thought that. Look at me like, preacher, you're horrible. I never think that kind of stuff. You do. You're a liar until you got a lying spirit in you. Don't tell me that. I know. Because we're humans. And if you go back and you look at the very initial creation of man in Genesis 1 and 2, you're made out of dirt. All right? I heard women say, we ain't made out of dirt, we're made out of prime rib. But that prime rib came from dirt. No matter how you cut it, the bottom ingredient, that when you reduce it down, is dirt. He took it from the earth and he made man and he breathed into him the breath of life. Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 17, he says, man, the heart of man is wicked. It's wicked before more than anybody can imagine how wicked the heart of man is. You can't make it in life unless you understand resurrection power. You can't make it in life and have victory in life over the temptations of sin in this world and the temptations what this world is going to throw at you. You can't make it in life without understanding resurrection power. Now, you got to understand something. When the disciples ran in, you know, I wasn't there. I'm just taking the account that we're reading there from the other Gospels. When the ladies came in and looked in first, they looked in and said, "Ay, Jesus is gone." And they ran back. Then Peter and John run. And I think I've always thought it's interesting here that John had to note that he outran Peter, just like two men. They're in competition to who can get to the tomb first. You know, can't just be two guys that's around. You know, no, he had to note, and I outran him. But he wrote it in third person, so he'd seem a little more humble that he was the disciple that outran him to the tomb. So that it be known, I got there first. And he looks in and then steps back out and says, he's not there. But it says Peter runs in. And then it makes a notation here that when Peter runs in, he looks at the body and he notices that the cloth that was going to be across the face was folded. You know, it was folded and it was laid in a different place. Now you got to understand something. It says that they had buried Jesus as the custom of the Jews was. Now the custom of the Jews was they got caught because it was the day of Passover. And they got caught and they couldn't be around a person who had died or anything that had death to it, attached to it, at Passover. Otherwise they'd be ceremonially unclean and they couldn't have proper Passover. So they tried to get Jesus in the tomb, but they weren't finished with all the preparations that had to take place. Now you notice that Joseph of Arimathea and Nicodemus, they had 100 pounds of ointment or salve. Now you got to understand the salve, this ointment, that this mixture is mixed up. It'd be like axle grease. All right? Thick substance. All right? Smell pretty, but it was a thick, you know, petroleum jelly kind of stuff. And so, as the custom was of the Jews to bury, they would take the body and they'd wash the body and then they would begin to put this stuff on there. We're talking 100 pounds. Right? I mean, get this. It wasn't just like spray some nice smelly stuff on there. We're talking 100 pounds of grease. Y'all with me? We're talking a 5-gallon bucket of lard, you know? We're talking about a lot here. Y'all with me? Does anybody here know how much a 5-pound bucket of, you know, manteca lard would weigh? Anybody know? 5 gallons, not 5 pounds. 5 gallons. You know, the 5-gallon big. Anybody got an idea? Okay, so two of them then, it'd take at least two of those, possibly three. That's a lot. What they would do is they would take the body, it'd be washed, it'd put all this stuff on there, and then they would wrap it. You know, each finger, the hand, the arm, each was wrapped individually. It was like a cocoon taken into one deal. When Peter ran in there and looked in there and saw, what it was not just a bunch of shredded pieces, it was the shell with nothing in it. Because you see, if that ointment would have stayed in there, and it kind of solidified a little. It's not like epoxy. It's not totally hard. But it would have left a shell with nothing but the opening where the face was right there. Whoosh. That's what he walked out of. Took the napkin, folded it up, and set it over on the side. So when he runs in there and he looks in the hole. Ain't nobody there. There's these wrappings, this cocoon. Ain't nothing in it. You see, the miracle is he's looking at it and saying, nobody stole the body. That's where he was wrapped. What? What's the deal? When he runs out, Peter's mind is blown. Because he saw something, the very first example of resurrection power, he saw it and it totally, completely blew his mind. If you read on down the story in chapter 20, they go on back, they're all talking about it. It doesn't really mention Peter saying much about anything, but they go back and they all start talking about what went on, what they saw. Everybody's doing that, and all of a sudden, Jesus stands right there in the middle of them. Jesus standing right in the midst of them. Everybody just freaks out. Just freaks out. He says, I'm paraphrasing here. He says, guys, calm down. It's just me. Look. By the way, y'all got anything to eat? You see, Jesus was resurrected, but he wasn't a ghost. He wasn't Casper the Friendly Ghost. But in his resurrection body was like nothing anybody had ever seen, because he had the ability to walk through a wall. He had the ability to come right out of the cloths, the linen things there, you know, in the tomb. He had the ability, though, to also, Mary grabbed hold of him and said, don't touch me yet. I've not yet ascended to my Father. So he grabbed hold of him. He wasn't a ghost. He wasn't a spirit where there was no way to touch him. You got to understand something. This is not one moment, one day. Jesus was with the disciples for 40 days. It wasn't like it was just a one momentary thing. The resurrection power that knocked Jesus right out of the grave and brought him back and changed his physical structure from the way we would know his physical structure. That resurrected Jesus, it wasn't a poof and then it was all gone, it was over with. No, he was there with his disciples. He went around, he talked to him, he taught him. Hello? We're not here today to celebrate an event that happened one time. We're here today to celebrate that because Jesus was resurrected, the same resurrection power is available for us today in our lives. You don't believe me? Go to Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8. Let me show you something. Now, Romans chapter 8 is talking about the law of the spirit of life in Christ and the law of sin and death. And it says over in verse 11, but if the spirit of him, the spirit there is a capital, it's talking about the Holy Spirit. If the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. What's he talking about? Hold your finger there. Go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16. 1 Corinthians 3:16 says, do you not know that you are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Wait a minute. If it's the Holy Spirit that came into that tomb and came in that resurrection, and he is the resurrection power, the Holy Spirit being the resurrection power that came down and hit Jesus' dead body and shot resurrection life in it to where he came out of those grave clothes. He could walk through a wall, but yet he was still hungry. Yet you could hold on to him. And he says that same Holy Spirit is the Spirit that's in you when you made Jesus Christ the Lord and Savior of your life and you became the temple of the living God. Then that means the same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in each and every one of us as believers in Jesus Christ. It's like having a gun and the enemy talks you out of it's going to work. And that you don't have, your bullets are no good. And you have a gun and it will work and the bullets will shoot. But he's talked you out of ever using it. So we go through as life as Christians. Say, oh yeah, we're the temple of the living God and the Spirit of God lives in us. But we never experience and walk in any resurrection power. Folks, we're coming into a time and an age right now that we as Christians better learn to start living and walking in resurrection power. We better start learning to live and walk in the power of God and asking God's power to come into every situation of our lives. Our marriages, our health, our finances, our understanding, our knowledge. I just spoke to Jerry Huckabee just a minute ago. We were talking about over in Sunday school class the tsunami that happened in Indonesia where 250,000 people were killed. And he said they were supposed to be there. They were planned to be there. They were going to be standing on that beach. But then their plans got changed and they went to a different location and weren't there. You tell me that's not resurrection power working on the inside of us? You tell me that God doesn't want to put you in the right place at the right time? That God didn't want to keep you out of harm's way and keep you from all kinds of things going on. I listened to a documentary the other day about the West Nile virus. And one mosquito got into New York. And within 6 months, that epidemic that was in New York spread completely across the United States, all of the United States, and killed 1,200 people. A mosquito. You think that just because you live in the United States and just because we have good doctors and good hospitals and all that, that we're all protected and everything's okay? Stupid mosquito. You tell me that this life that we think that, you know, we're invincible is not just hanging by mere threads? The earthquake we just saw happen in Japan. And all the things going on with it. The tsunami in Indonesia, 200,000 people are just gone. Just washed away, just gone. Folks, you don't think that this life that we live in is really very fragile? I want to tell you something. We need to be living in resurrection power. We need to be having a greater understanding of if we're the temples of the living God and the Spirit of God is living on the inside of us and it's the same Spirit that knocked Jesus out of the grave. What kind of power is on the inside of us? And it comes a time in life that there isn't anything to do but to rise up and say, Lord, I want to know the Christ living in me. Lord, I want to know the Spirit of God living on the inside of me. We as Christians have been so subjected underneath religion that we don't, oh, you know, you can't pray that, or you can't say this, or you can't do that, or, oh, you know, that, you know, oh. You just get talked out of everything in life. I'm telling you, if you get to heaven, I would rather stand before Jesus and says, Robert, you know, you crazy fool, you believed me for everything, and I was only going to do this, than to get to heaven and him say, Robert, why didn't you ever believe me? I would so much rather stand before heaven and say, oh, I'm sorry, Lord. I thought you were bigger than that. than to get to heaven and see all of the glory of God and say, ah, gosh, I wish I'd have believed more. I preached Wednesday night about the lady with the pots and the oil in the Old Testament. And since she went out and gathered all the pots and the oil she poured in, she had all those pots full, but she only got filled what they had gone out and asked for. They only had enough. It stopped running when they had no more pots to pour the oil into. If they'd have got one more pot, they'd had one more pot full. Their faith limited them on how much the miracle worked. And I'm telling you, our faith is what's limiting us. Our faith is limiting us because we're not walking in the resurrection power that's ours, and we're not in agreement about it. Because you got one denomination over here saying, ah, God ain't going to do that. And you got another one over here saying, ah! And you got one over here saying, well, we don't really know, but we're just going to kind of stand right in the middle. And nobody wants to get in an agreement. And the Bible said God will do anything if people are in agreement. That's what he said. I mean, Jesus said it. I didn't write it. Jesus said it. That resurrection power wants to work in our lives. Wants to come in and deliver us from the torments of life, the fears of life, the issues and the problems that life brings us. But nothing's ever going to work unless you're willing to step out of the boat and try to walk on the water. Nothing's ever going to work in your life or ever going to better your marriage or ever going to better your finances or ever going to better anything unless you're willing to truly trust God and believe Him. As long as you're a Christian only because you don't want to go to hell, you're not going to have much success in life as seeing the resurrection power work in your life. Right? I'm glad to know that heaven's my home. Right? I hope y'all are. I hope you're glad to know you're going to heaven. Jesus Christ is the Lord and Savior of your life. You're going to heaven. But I want to serve Jesus because He's Jesus. He's the Son of God. I love Him. He's given us everything. He's thrown open the windows of heaven and poured out all His blessings upon us. He's opened up and said, man, I want to fill you full of resurrection power, but we got to do something about it. It's time that we as Christians stand up in life and say, listen, wait a minute. I want to operate Jesus, as you intended us to operate. I want to walk in resurrection power. I want to walk in victory. I want to walk in your joy, fullness of joy. I want to walk in everything that you have for us. I want to come up, and I know there's going to be stumbling blocks and problems in life, but I want you to show me how to walk on through it, Lord. Folks, you're never going to live a life that isn't going to have problems to it. You're never going to live a life in this, as long as we're in this fallen world, there's issues in this fallen world going on, you're never going to not have a problem. But praise God, Jesus said, in this world you'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I've given you resurrection power. I proved it by being the first one to rise from the dead. Folks, this is good news. I'm telling you, you got more power in you than you realize. There's more of the Spirit of God on the inside of you than you realize. There's more that could come out of your mouth and you could speak into your life and in your situations and see things move than you realize. It's all right there, stuck between, I guess, the top of your head and your chin. It's called your mouth, and what you're going to speak and what you're going to say coming out of it. What you're going to believe. What you're going to do. What you're going to say. Proverbs says, death and life's in the power of your tongue. There's been a many things I've prayed about that didn't happen the way I prayed for it. But you know what? I keep praying. You know what? I keep wanting to learn. I keep wanting to grow. I keep wanting to go on in life. Amen? I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to stop. If the same resurrection power is living and dwelling on the inside of me, I want to see it operate. I want to see it work. It's not a time to give up in life. It's a time to charge forward. It's a time to stand up in the face of adversity and say, wait a minute, God's with me. And if God be for me, then who in the world or what in the world could be against me? Come on, let's read it right here. Look, chapter 8. Romans 8. Back to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Verse 18 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Folks, listen to me. There's glory. Everybody say glory.
Glory.
This is the only way I can describe glory. Glory to me is like, wow. Are y'all with me? Like, if something happens and you go, oh, that's nice. Okay, that's not glory. That's not wow. If something happens, you go, wow. Now you're starting to enter into what maybe glory could be like. Because glory is so much better than anything you can imagine. If you had a piece of property and you bought it for $1,000, and you held on for it to a little while, and somebody came up there to you and said, I'd like to give you a good price. He said, no, it's not for sale. I don't want to sell it. And they said, no, I really want to give you a good price. I'll give you $100,000 for that piece of property that you just paid $1,000 for. Would you say, wow? Is that wow? Or are you going to be the person that says, well, gosh, if it's worth $100,000, maybe it's worth two. See, glory and wow is so much more than you could ever believe. But the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 3 that God wants to do exceedingly abundant beyond you could even think or ask. You have a lot of, we have a bunch of real estate people in here this morning. If somebody walked into your office, knocked on your door and said, listen, every piece of property you have listed and everything you know of, I want to buy it today. What would you say? Is that wow? Is that wow? Or would you say, well, listen, I don't really want to go out and show you nothing. I've been kind of tired. And, you know, things are bad. Things ain't looking good. Ain't nobody bought nothing. You know, I ain't going to go. I don't know. Who are you? See, what are you going to do? See, I'm trying to get you into a wow. I'm trying to get you into glory. He said he wants to reveal glory in you. Glory's like, glory. Glory's right there with wow, except it's more. It's glory. Have you ever experienced glory? Glory's good. God wants to do glorious things in you by the resurrection power that's in you. He wants to shock you. He wants to wow you. Go to chapter 31, verse 31. So then what shall we say to these things? What things? The things that happen to us in life. The problems and the situations and the circumstances that come up in life. What do we want to say to these things, he says? These things. Everybody say these things. Does anybody have any things in your life? I got some things in my life. I got some things, these things. What are you going to say to these things? So you got to talk to things. He said, no, Pastor, that's just crazy. Okay, here you go. You're driving down the road and your vehicle you're driving starts to make a funny noise. Does it, in a sense, start to talk to you? Oh, something's not right. This thing's going to break down. I know something's not right. Look, you look at all the gauges and everything okay? Because something. Am I with you? Are you with me? It starts to, in a sense, talk to you. Oh, you're going to break down, aren't you? It's going to be the worst. It's going to, the whole motor's going to go out in this thing. I just got this thing paid for. Oh, my gosh. Now I have to go buy a new one. I don't have any money to buy a new one. Oh, gosh. I'm going to go to the bank. I ain't going to give me a loan. What's interesting? How am I going to get a new car? Probably get a car. It'll be a lemon, too. Oh, my gosh. So if things are going to talk to you, why don't you just get the upper hand and start talking to things? So what do you say to things? If God be for me, then who in the world is going to be against me? You remind things that there's resurrection power on the inside of you. You have to remind things, obstacles, things that come against you in life, fears, concerns, anxieties, problems. You have to remind things that if God's for me, what in the world could be against me? Listen to me. I'm preaching really, really good. If you don't talk to things, things are going to tell you the worst things in the world, and it's going to have you in the ditch of despair. You're going to be singing that song, doom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. That's what you're going to be singing. That's going to be the theme song. You're going to put it on. You're going to put it on your ringtone on your phone. Because things are going to start telling you the worst. So what do you say to things? You say, hey, if God's for me, if I'm the temple of the living God and the Spirit of the living God's dwelling on the inside of me and resurrection power's on the inside of me, who do you think you are, punk? Right? So if God be for me, then who in the world's going to be against me? He didn't even spare his own son, but he delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us how many things? Is that not A-L-L, not O-I-L? You know, we're from Texas right here. We talk a little strange. A-L-L, all things. Right? How much is all? Right? If somebody said to you, you can take all of that. That means all of it, right? Means it's all yours. Hello? Folks, I mean, listen, he's saying it here. Who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It's God who justifies. Listen to me. I read that this way, all right? I didn't write it. I didn't promise it. He did. All I'm doing is believing in it. If he justified me, then what can anybody say? If he said he's not going to lay, who can bring a charge to God's elect? Who's the enemy to tell me that I'm not going to heaven? Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died and furthermore is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God, who also makes intercession for us. Now you've got Jesus, the resurrected Savior, sitting beside God, poking him, saying, hey, look, Daddy, CW down there? Look, see what he said? He needs some help. Let's not think too much with a religious mind here, but how do you think Jesus would intercede to his Father? Oh, Heavenly Father, thou that sitteth upon the throne in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Maybe I'm making this too simple, but my son's sitting right over there and he don't intercede to me like that when he wants something. What's really kind of funny is Dwayne and I talking about our lovely, blessed, awesome family, sons, love them. But most of the time we find out they just take it, and then we find out they got it. That's just kind of the way it seems to work. Fathers and sons. I'm just looking for it, and I say, where's that? I say, let me call Joe. Joe, where's, you got that? Yeah, I got it. Okay. It's not a lot of intercession there. From the Son to the Father. My point is Jesus sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, I don't think there's a lot of begging on his part to get God to do something for you. He just merely brings up, hey, Daddy Chad. He's there. He also makes intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, or peril of sword, as is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all things we are more than conquerors through him who loves us. I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Resurrection power. I said to the Sunday school class this morning, so I'm not ashamed of it. I don't watch a lot of sports. I'm not a big golf, basketball player. Sport I really like to watch is boxing. And the reason why I like to watch boxing is because no matter who the champion is, when they walk into the ring, the underdog has a chance to change everything in a moment and get a wild punch out of left field and maybe knock the guy out. And the other day I was watching a boxing match, and it happened. The guy, the champion who had the belt, was, man, he was, woohoo, he thought he was something. And this guy from nowhere hit this guy, knocked him on the canvas, and knocked him out. And everybody was like, and I just said, that's the way Jesus wants to do it in our life. You look like the underdog. You look like you don't stand a chance to make it in life. But like David slinging the stone, God wants to work in your life through that resurrection power and knock that sucker out that's giving you a hard time in life. That temptation, that whatever that weakness is in our life, whatever it is that's coming against you in life, he wants to just come up with a punch that nobody's expecting. Undercut the champion, knock him down, and he's still wondering what's going on while you're shouting victory and doing the chicken dance. And then the thing I love about fighters is then they're interviewing him later. He's like, yeah, I was prepared for this. I just really wanted to. I knew I was going to do it. And you're like, you didn't stand a chance. I'm telling you, that's what God wants to do for you. It's time to rise up to your feet. It's time to get out there and lie. It's time to start shouting the praises of God. It's time to start shouting that Jesus is resurrected, that there's power on the inside of you. Every time that there's a circumstance or a thing rises up in your life, you ought to be speaking to it and say, you think you can defeat me? God is for me. God is on my side. Greater is he that's in me that's in this world. You think you can win? You can't win. What are you talking about? Thing, get out of here. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. And watch then the resurrection power that's in you burst forth. And watch things change. Watch things that you don't even, you may not see the lightning strike, but you just begin to watch things change. You begin to watch attitudes change and things change and events change and things start lining up because you're operating like you were intended to operate in life. Walking in that resurrection power that's in you every day. Amen? Amen. Well, put your Bibles up this morning. We're going to have communion today.